the spraying of the light brown apple moth in the San Francisco Bay Area. According to government officials, this moth is the latest scourge of California's agriculture, and we'll hear from author, educator, and Bay Area citizen concerned with the local environment, Michael Parenti. We'll also hear from Marcia McCall of Afghans for Tomorrow on this organization and an update from Afghanistan. We'll begin with Dr. Michael Parenti describing the issue of the light brown apple moth.
There is in California an immense struggle that's shaping up, and it's been shaping up for months. The California Department of Food and Agriculture has maintained that there is an apple moth that is now here. It's a native of Australia. It's lived in Australia, New Zealand, and Hawaii. And this moth is an avaricious destroyer of plants and crops, and it's a menace. And it just arrived in about March 2006, they say, and within a year it has spread hundreds of miles all over California. And so they are going to spray us, and they have already sprayed Santa Cruz and Monterey last June. Now, we have pointed out that the apple moth is a tiny little creature about the size of a dime. Its record in destroying crops is non-existent. There may have been one orchard in New Zealand once that got damaged a little bit.
Now, this is specifically an apple tree moth?
No, the California Department of Food and Agriculture argues that this moth attacks about 2,000 different plants and 200 crops. They don't know that. They have no evidence for that. And in fact, when the case came to Santa Cruz just a few months ago, the judge said, "What evidence do you have that this moth has destroyed crops in California?" They could not, in court, they could not produce any evidence whatsoever.
Mm.
So the moth is harmless as far as we know. It's a leaf roller. It does not really eat large plants. It doesn't munch its way through apples. It doesn't do any of these things. It gives mild damage to some leaves at times, if that. Also, we know that this moth, what they've done is they managed to spray Santa Cruz and Monterey last June on the grounds that this was an emergency situation. When it's an emergency, you can use sprays that are untested about safety and reliability and the like, or even efficacy. And they have sprayed what they call a pheromone. They say this pheromone won't kill anybody. It won't even kill the moth. It just gets them all mixed up in their mating, and then they won't multiply, and that's it. Well, as a matter of fact, insect pheromone is but a minute fraction of the atmosphere. I mean, this ferret, you can go around hundreds of miles, and you wouldn't breathe in half an ounce of it. They're going to dump hundreds of pounds of tons of this stuff by aerial spray, and it's not a natural pheromone. What they're going to dump is a synthetic pheromone, which is officially classified as a pesticide. In addition, this cocktail, it's among its preservatives and so-called inert matter, are about four other ingredients which we know are carcinogenic or in other ways toxic
to humans.
To humans, yes. When it was sprayed in Santa Cruz and Monterey, there was 643 complaints issued about health problems immediately after the spraying.
That we know of.
That we know of, right. Those 643 involved more than 643 people, because many of those complaints involved whole families and pets and other things.
Uh-huh.
And there were hundreds of other people who never registered, who never went to a doctor, couldn't afford to, didn't get into the system, didn't know what had happened to themselves, so they didn't know that it was a spray. The spray is also time released, so people who say, "Oh well, they're going to spray at the beginning of the month, I'll just leave town for a few days," but in fact, it's time-released so that on day 23, it'll be just as potent as it was on day 2 as these capsules are released. Mm. The capsules that are released are microscopic capsules that that lodge in the sacs of your lungs and cannot be gotten rid of. They're so tiny that the lungs cannot cough them out. So we don't know what the long-range effects of those things would be in your lungs also. Mm. So we've had people who've gotten eyes swollen and red, vomiting. People now have high blood pressure who never did before. Troubled asthmatic-like attacks, feeling things like mononucleosis. Not that they got mono, but it's the symptoms were the same. I mean, the body just has so many symptoms to fight off things. Fatigued and all that. So they have been spraying urban populations. They now say that this moth is located. This moth, which supposedly eats crops and goes after crops, this moth is located in Oakland, in Richmond, in Berkeley, in San Francisco, in Alameda, in Albany, and places like this. All these urban areas, Santa Cruz, Monterey, and they think it might be, and maybe they're testing up in Vallejo. They think they've found it in Sonoma. And there's been an uproar about this sort of thing, that first of all, the spray is unnecessary, unhealthy, and uncalled for, you know, and ineffective. We have entomologists like the eminent James Carey, the California Secretary of Food and Agriculture, his name is Kawamura. Kawamura says, well, James Carey isn't an entomologist. I mean, that's crazy. This is about the level of truth with Kawamura anyway. James Carey is one of the leading experts and entomologists who teaches at UC Berkeley and whose specialty is invasive species. And he said, there's no way this moth could have come in just a year ago and spread hundreds of miles. There is no insect in the world that could travel like that. This moth has a lifetime radius of 300 yards. In fact, it may take a year or 2 or 3 years for the moth to go from one back garden to a neighbor's back garden. That's how slow it is. He said, most likely this moth, if they really have found it in all these different places 100 miles from each other, from Monterey up to Marin, they found it in Marin. If they have found it, then this moth has been here for at least 10 years, maybe 20 or 30 years. Now, Kawamura himself has finally admitted, well, the moth has probably been here from 3 to 7 years. Well, then what's the emergency? How can you argue on one hand that this devastating creature is so voracious and destroys so many crops, and yet you can't produce any crops that show damage? How can you argue that this thing is getting around and it'll be killing all these things, when in fact you now admit that it's been here 3 to 7 years and it hasn't been a problem? What makes you think it's going to be a problem now? And this pheromone stuff, this spray that you're going to do, is not going to eradicate the moth. It will not get rid of it. And they say they will spray every month, and they're now getting a new cocktail of this stuff together, putting more of these toxins in it to be able to spray only once every 3 months, because they say populations get very emotional when they see themselves getting sprayed by planes. So that's our problem. We're just emotional, you see. But what they'll do is then they'll spray every 3 months instead of every month, and then over those 3 months, this stuff will be time-released. So it's going to be a lot more potent to be able to release in that much more sustained fashion. And it's uncalled for, but it involves hundreds of millions of dollars in contracts for the pesticide company, which is owned by the same guy who has some big orchards here in California, a rich guy, a billionaire named Resnick. And the money is coming from the Homeland Security, from the federal budget, on an earmark from George W. Bush, the President of the United States, who denounces congressional earmarks but stuck one into the bill to pay for pesticide spraying. And what gets targeted? All the urban areas and all the progressive and democratic areas are being targeted for the spraying. It's kind of odd, don't you think?
Let's talk about what you think is actually going on back here. Why is this happening at this time? I mean, we've had other critters. We had the Malathion spraying, right? That
exactly. Another terrible example. I mean, I know people who got cancer right after they got caught in Malathion sprays. I know a woman who was younger than I am now, in good health, late 60s, who had organic gardening, and she died, got ill and died. And her daughter is sure that she got caught in the spray. They both have been very upset about the spraying and all this. And they kept spraying. They will spray this. They will pour this stuff out on us as long as they can make money on it. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, this pesticide industry. Now, I live here in Berkeley. Nobody uses sprays. This is one of their arguments. Well, the spray we throw out on everybody is going to be much less than what your neighbors use. They always use concentrated stuff, you know. If you're really worried, talk to your neighbors. On one hand, they say it's harmless. On two, they try to justify it by saying, well, might we use much less of it than these people who really use the stuff and
Roundup
it's harmless.
Yeah,
and these other things. Well, in fact, nobody here uses any of that. Mm-hmm. You can't. You're not allowed to. And we in Berkeley have lush, look at us, we have lush stuff. We have gardens. Look at the garden we're sitting in right now where we've got all these varieties of all sorts of plants just growing as volunteers, as they're called. I mean, half of these things aren't even planted. They just grow on their own. So you don't need that stuff. When you spray a place, you not only kill whatever this particular pest you're looking at, you kill every other thing around, too. You kill the things that would be eating it. This moth has natural enemies here in California. Not native, it's true, because it's not native to California. But we already know there are certain kind of California wasps that eat the lava of the moth. Uh-huh. There are some ants that eat the lava. And we have birds that eat the moth itself. Now, you spray, those birds start dying. Birds have been dying off in the spray that was done in Santa Cruz in Monterey. Birds died off. Cats died. Other pets got sick. And the like. So What spraying does, what most pesticides do, is they create the need for their own use. They create a kind of, they destroy the ecology of control, and they create an artificial situation that creates a dependency on their use. The thing that would have controlled this thing is gone, and so we've got to kill it, and that's the way. Now, Kawamura is even talking about the gypsy moth. Well, the gypsy moth has been around for 20 years in the East. I remember in New Haven, Connecticut, you see them come. One day I remember seeing these things pouring all over the street. I thought it was snowing, except it was June and July. I knew it couldn't be snow, and it was warm.
So they come like that, the gypsy moth swarms?
Once in a while, there's a swarm of them. They get on some trees. They eat all the leaves of the trees. The trees survive, and their leaves grow back. It may take a year or whatever and all that. Yeah. And the moths recede, and, you know, their natural enemies come and kill them. Also, they overload a certain little area. Once they do that, they collapse. The population collapses if it can't eat, you know.
Yeah.
And this idea, we got to spray this, spray for that one, spray for this one. You listen to Kawamura and his team; they've got plans for all 50 states. This is big money. You know, Homeland Security is going to go out and really, really go at it. They're crazy. They have recreated this apple moth as a Godzilla that can go out there and destroy everything, and they have no evidence for it. And as I say, in court, it was proven when the judge turned and said, where's your evidence that this is an emergency situation and that this moth is eating everything up? They couldn't come up with anything. They had slides of an apple half eaten. It looked like a horse had eaten this apple and said, this is what the moth can do to apples. They had a slide of grapes, and the lower part of the bunch of grapes looked like they had gotten darkened and raisined and all. And didn't look a moth wasn't eating it, and they never quite said that the moth did this. They said, now this is what the moth could do to the grapes. Well, you know, Napa Valley, all the farmers get panicked and say, oh, we don't want this moth to kill our grapes, of course, and they talk about the hundreds of millions of dollars in crops that we have that are at stake and threatened by this lethal moth. And this moth couldn't eat its way out of a maple tree.
We're talking with Dr. Michael Parente about the light brown apple moth and how it's going to be eradicated. Dr. Parente, what kind of outcry has there been against the light brown apple moth?
It's been a very big one. About 25 municipalities are on record, and county governments also are on record as opposing the spraying. All sorts of associations, nursing associations, medical associations, other people have come out. Realtors in Marin County, the Association of Realtors, have come out against them. This spraying, by the way, will not only be damaging to our health, but to the ecology. Organic gardeners have come out against the spraying. Your garden will no longer... they come along and say, oh, we will not take your organic certification away from the spraying. You can be sure. Relax. They talk in this patronizing voice that we're little panicky people and they're going to pat us on the heads. We're not taking your certification. But it's not the certification you eat, it's the organic quality. If once you're spraying it with these toxic ingredients, it's not organic, even if you keep calling it organic. So they have come out against it, a lot of organic growers. Congresswoman Barbara Lee has made a statement to the federal government saying Senator Feinstein has come out against it. Mayors of about 20 cities or more have come out against it. The city attorneys are bringing cases against this, or have already brought cases against this. So there's been thousands of letters and emails and telephone calls that people have been making. Many, many people are concerned about this.
What kind of money are we talking about?
We're talking about $3 million every time a spray, every time the planes go up, every month, one spray. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in
and
the budget.
Do you know the planes will go up from one particular airport, or do they go up from several different airports?
Well, I don't know how that's going to work. It would probably have to be different places different regions, yeah. We should find out, because if it ever comes down to that, a lot of us plan to take direct action at the airports.
Meaning blockading?
Yeah, blockading and committing civil disobedience and maybe stopping the planes from going.
There's a certain attitude that seems to predominate in this kind of bureaucratic thinking, particular kind of worldview.
Yes, that's correct, that the environment, that nature is something that attacks us and threatens us.
And that can be dominated.
Right, and that therefore we should attack it back. Well, there are so many movies. You see these thriller movies or these cartoon shows for kids. You see the flying pods or the monster from the lagoon, and it's got all these terrible powers. And the only way you resolve it is with counter-violence. And you smash and you kill or liquidate or melt or burn this terrible menace that's coming at you. So we're really taught to hate and fear nature. I mean, look at the way people will squeal and get upset if a spider, a tiny little spider comes crawling in or something, or a bug flies near their face or something. So that's the way to look at the war against bugs, I guess, is what one author called it.
Well, I mean, one of the things I'm thinking here is that it really extends to the way we view the planet, doesn't it?
Yes.
We're trying now to say, well, climate change is not really a phenomenon that we need to be worried about, that we can control it. All we have to do is cut down our carbon emissions, and everything will be fine and dandy over a period of time if we just maintain that. But in fact, we live in an organic planet as well.
And where all these different processes are interrelated and they balance each other out. That's right. And when one of them goes, it has a chain, a reaction, and can have a feedback effect that multiplies the problems.
Yeah, and
the disasters.
It feels like the further away we get from that, the rural environment, the more this other sense dominates that we human beings ought to even control everything. We could control the weather, that would be great. In fact, we try and control the weather as much as we can with our weather news 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's a world view. How do you change people's world views?
Well, I think the outcry against the spraying and the like I think that's an example of people not buying into that worldview. So it's a pretty hopeful thing. People realizing that this can cause terrible problems to the environment, to personal health, and to business, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the tourist industry in San Francisco isn't going to be helped if you're going to be spraying the city of San Francisco. You've got to fly 200 to 300 feet up, which is already too dangerously low over an urban area. You plow into some buildings in some parts. You've got to go higher than that. And people aren't going to be coming to San Francisco this summer if you're going to be spraying them. And the spraying is going to go on 9 months of a year, they say. They happily announced. Yeah. 9 months of every year we'll be spraying you people. And it'll go on for 3 to 5 years.
But there's a chance that this is going to get caught up in the courts, isn't there? That there's going to, maybe the first spraying will bring out a whole bunch of litigation, and then...
Right. There has already been litigation. Santa Cruz and Monterey have already brought cases to court after already being sprayed. They were slated to be sprayed again ahead of everyone else this June again. And in both cases, the judges said, what are the grounds for the emergency and where's the damage that this moth supposedly has done? And they couldn't produce it. So there's supposed to be an EIR now, an environmental impact report, which will take maybe the better part of a year. Which itself proves there's no desperate emergency. There are no great crops in California that are besieged by this moth. I mean, the moth seems to be a city dweller. Commute out to these areas, the Eastern California, on weekends and eats all the food and then comes back. So it went to the court. The court threw it out and sent it for an environmental... Well, instead of cooperating with the court, the Department of Food and Agriculture in Kawamura immediately announced that they're going to appeal and get a different. So it's going up to the appeals court, and it might get turned around. You know, we get enough judges who are in the pocket of corporate America that corporate America can't be doing anything wrong, and they might decide otherwise. So this thing is really hanging by threads. It is not true that it's been postponed and it's been kicked out, and it looks like they won't spray. There are people who say they won't spray first because of this moratorium and the court decision. And the others who say they won't spray because there's been such an outcry and there's so much opposition. Well, both of those things are true, that there have been these court decisions and there's been a terrific outcry. But that doesn't mean they won't spray.
And what's the governor's position on this?
The governor's position is he is totally, totally in support of the spraying. The chemical that's produced is called Checkmate. It's one that has 9 ingredients, including this artificial pheromone, which is a pesticide, and about 4 other things which are toxic or mutagenic, which can cause all sorts of mutational problems or hereditary problems, and carcinogenic. And that spray, that's Checkmate, is produced by a chemical company called Sutera. Sutera is owned by this fellow Resnick, this multi-billionaire, who has contributed handsomely, $144,000, to Governor Schwarzenegger's campaign. And now Schwarzenegger's office has already made a statement saying that this handsome contribution that Schwarzenegger got from Sutera in no way influences his opinion in supporting Sutera. That we would have supported Sutera anyway, because this is an emergency and we've got to save our crops from this vicious, horrible, dangerous moth. So this is the kind of malarkey that we're faced with here.
And where can people learn more about this?
They could go to Stop the Spray. One word, stopthespray.org on the internet and email, and they can get all the information they want. The mayor of Albany, a man by the name of Robert Lieber, I believe, my memory serves me right, he's also a registered nurse, and he's a mayor. He's a wonderful guy. He wrote a real indictment about the lies and the hypocrisy used by those people who are pushing to have the spray take place.
And is that on the stopthespray.org?
Yes, I think they. Yes, I think they put it on there. Yes. Mm-hmm. One other thing I think we should tell your listeners, since your program goes beyond just the West Coast, that this is not just a problem here in California. These people have agendas to be spraying all over America.
These people being the corporations?
Being the corporations, the pesticide companies, the Homeland Security people who get this money in their budgets, the White House, if it's this present kind of mentality as prevails in the White House, and various other officials and such who get on the pesticide corporation payroll, including a lot of scientists and academics who supposedly are objective, but who make a lot of fat contract side money. These people see millions of dollars here. It's a cornucopia for them. They've even produced a map showing how they may be spraying in every state in the union. Kawamura said this really is a 50-state strategy. And, of course, there are going to be moths and insects and pests and such in all states. Is this what we want, to end up spraying densely populated urban areas or even not so densely populated farming and agrarian and suburban areas? There's still human beings living there who are going to be damaged by this.
Or there's animals that we subsequently eventually eat.
Right. Animals will eat, and water will drink, and foods will be eating from those areas. And this has a cumulative effect in our bodies.
Why do you think this is under the Homeland Security Department?
Yes, because it's, quote, an emergency. So any emergency, even though the Homeland Security was not put together for crop emergencies, well, they can say crop security is part of national security. So I guess they argue
it
that way.
But it's a never-ending list of things that would be under national emergency in that case.
Right, if you define emergency so facilely. And all the research we've done, everything I've been telling you, is research done by independent citizens. This is the kind of research that Kawamura should have been doing. This is the kind of research that the public servants at the California Department of Food and Agriculture should be doing. But instead of doing that and regulating the industry on behalf of the public interest, they become representatives of the industry. Kawamura himself, before he became Secretary of Agriculture here in California, he was president of the of a growers association. So he's with agribusiness. So here he is supposedly regulating agribusiness, and in fact he's one of their spokesmen. He's repeating their lies, he's launching these campaigns on their behalf, and we have to find out these things and challenge on our own. Mm-hmm. We do this on our own. Our tax dollars pay for these people to victimize us, and then we've got to fight them back on our own time. Mm-hmm. This is what he should be doing. He should be saying and turning to these big companies and insecticide opportunists and say, listen, we have no evidence that this moth is a pest and it isn't a pest and we're not going to do anything. He should have taken care of that already, but instead he's out there going to bat for them, because he's going back to those boys. When he finishes here, he'll be back with them. His whole career is with them. He's one of them.
To learn more about